if the woman is to submit or obey to the husband in all things, when he says no more children, what should be the deal?
No more children.
Case closed. He's the boss. God said it. I didn't make the rules. God made the rules. Wives, you have to obey your husbands in all things, whether you like it or not. He didn't say if you like their decision. That wasn't what he said. But she says, okay. And so she lied to her husband. She deceived her husband. And she did everything she could to get pregnant instead of trying to keep from getting pregnant. And then when she got pregnant, it's real easy to say, now, honey, isn't it awesome? It must be God's will after all for us to have a child. Well, yeah, if you're doing everything in the world to get pregnant. Most women get pregnant, you know, whenever they do everything they can to get pregnant and they have sex with their husband, it's real easy to get pregnant. And she did. And of course, the little girl was born with eczema. They had no clue. But whenever she went to the Lord and asked him, and then after she woke up one morning, she heard these words, lying and deception. She called us. I said, do you know what that means? She said, yes, I know what that means. She said, I told my husband I'd do everything I could to keep from getting pregnant. And she said, I did everything I could to get pregnant. So she said, I lied to him and I deceived him. And so she said, this is our sin. I said, okay. Then I said, you got to ask your husband to forgive you. She said, I already have and he's forgiven me. I said, then you both got to ask God to forgive you. She said, we already have. And I know he's forgiven us. Now, the husband, he said, I didn't want any more children, but now that we have this little almost 8-year-old now, I love her with all my heart. You've never seen a daddy that had an 8-year-old he didn't love. He might not have wanted her up front, but now that he's got her, he loves her. And he certainly don't want her sick. And so it was real easy for him to forgive his wife for what she'd done. And they got back in a right relationship with each other and with God. And then we prayed one more prayer for little Gina. And in 2 weeks, little Gina was completely healed with all of her scars and everything gone. Totally, completely, perfectly healed little girl. 8 years old, no scars, no more eczema. The girl's completely healed. Now then, is that a pretty good case of sin holding you back from getting healed? Yeah. Somebody said, well, I've been trying and trying and trying, and I can't get healed. Well, you got a sin. What is your sin? I don't know. You know, but you know what most of our sin is? I want to take you to one of these promises. Matthew 17, start about 18 or 19, and let's see what Matthew 17, 18 or 19, somewhere along there, we'll read it and see where we are. Matthew 17, 18, then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? We ought to ask the Lord that same thing. You know that? Because Jesus did it. Let's see what he says in verse 20 and 21. You didn't have enough faith. What? These were Jesus' disciples. These were his apostles. He had anointed them with the Holy Ghost and power. He had spoken to them and told them, I anoint you with this power. Go out and heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. And they've been doing it. But for this one, obviously this was a bigger, more powerful demon. And they couldn't cast it out. So when they couldn't and Jesus did, they asked him why. He said, you didn't have enough faith, Jesus told them. What do you think he would tell us today? You ain't got any faith. I don't even want to hear it, Lord. If he told these boys, you ain't got enough faith, I ain't going to ask him because I can just hear him now say, you ain't got any faith. Now, do you want to hear that? No. You didn't have enough faith, Jesus told him. I assure you, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed. Now, how big a faith is that? That's tiny, isn't it? We ain't got to have a teacup full of this stuff. Boy, if we had a mustard seed size of this, if we had a teacup full, what could we do with a teacup full? Ooh, we could get something done. It says, I assure you, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible with you. Now then, if nothing is impossible with us, if we get a hold of faith, what is it we need to get a hold of? Faith. What is faith? It's His Word. Knowing His promises. If we get a hold of His promises, then you realize that you know that these promises are always yes and amen to all of His obedient children. So when you, two of you, that Matthew 18:19, if two of you agree about anything you ask me for, He says, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. You know what? You ought to be like this woman. There's a woman, her brother comes to this church. She's about 7 or 8 years older than her brother. And this happened about 10 years ago. He's about 80 now, I think, 78 or 80. But she came down with cancer, or she didn't know what it was, but she got to feeling real bad. So she went to the doctor. The doctor checked her and says, you have cancer. She said, oh my goodness gracious. I said, we need to start you on chemo. She said, nope, nope, no, I ain't gonna put no chemo in me. Nope. She said, I didn't realize when that preacher said, I have to forgive everybody from my heart or it'll bring cancer. I really didn't think he knew what he was talking about. But she said, I have an unforgiveness toward a woman. So I'm going to forgive her. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. I'm going to go get right with her, tell her I forgive her, and I'm going to promise her I'll walk in love with her from this day forward. Then she said, I'm coming to the church, and I'm going to have one of these promises. Now I'm going to take you to another one of these promises. James 5:14-16. Before we leave that, go down to the next verse. 21, and let's see what it says. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, is it important to spend time with God in prayer? If you want to see Him do great and wonderful things, you're going to spend time on your knees with the King, or He ain't going to do nothing for you. And then He says, fasting. You know, for years in the Baptist church, I thought they left the E out of the word. Because I never heard of the word fasting. In a Baptist church, we've done a lot of feasting. I mean, them girls, boy, when they say bring your favorite finger foods, I'm looking forward to them Sunday night. These girls can bring some of the best groceries, man, and you can just fill your plate up and you can just get pigged out. Them girls know how to cook in them Baptist churches. You know that? They're good at feasting. But that's not what he said, was it? We're going to have a fasting and prayer. Now then, I wonder what would happen if I were to say, folks, how many of you in this room would like to walk in a greater power with God? How many would hold up your hand? I said, okay. Next Friday afternoon, I want all y'all to come down here, and we're going to get on our face before God Friday afternoon. We're going to have bottles of water all around the place here. Ain't nobody going to be allowed to leave except to go to the bathroom. We're going to get on our face before God. We're only going to drink water, and we're going to pray all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. Ain't going to be no church Sunday. 3 days of praying and fasting. No food. Now then, how many of y'all are going to be here? Hey, praise God, a few of you have a look at your head. The proof will be in the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because you tell people we're going to have a feasting, they'll come. But you tell them we're going to fast and pray, they ain't very many Christians going to show up. But how did God say we got this great power? Fasting and praying. Now then, do you know you could do this at home all on your own? The longest fast that Cheryl and I have ever been on is 18 and a half days. That was your first one. Yeah, this girl, we were up in the Northeast, and I wanted to get this boy healed, and he wanted to be healed. And we prayed and prayed and prayed over this boy, and he never did get out of the wheelchair. So on the way home, she says, why did that boy not get out of that wheelchair? I said, because I don't have enough faith. She said, how do you get enough faith? I said, the scripture says by praying and fasting. Well, how long do you have to fast? I said, well, the ultimate is 40 days. I said, Jesus prayed and fasted for 40 days, and then he could do everything. He spent 40 days in direct touch with his Heavenly Father. I said, he would never ask me to do something greater than he did. So I said, if I could spend 40 days praying and fasting, then I believe with all my heart I'd have this kind of power. Sure said, we're going to do it. I said, you ever been on a fast before? She says, no. I said, and you're going to go on a 40-day fast? She said, yes. To see God anoint you with the Holy Ghost and power to get people healed, I'll do anything. Now, that's what you call a real woman. You know that? That's a real woman. She's going to suffer for 40 days so I can have the anointing. That's what you call a woman, a godly woman. So we come home and we start. And we're going on and on. We're fasting and praying. And we go the 18th morning when I get up to come out here. I get up to come out. We were still living over in Colleyville at the time. I get up and Cheryl gets up and she goes and throws a couple of clothes in the laundry and says, and she lays there for a few minutes. She gets up and she goes get two more clothes and comes over, throws them in there, and she falls down again. I said, honey, I don't think you're going to make it. She said, I'm going to be okay. Don't you worry about me. So I said, okay, I'm going out to the ministry center. So I come out here to the ministry center. And when I got out of my car and stood up for about 30 seconds, I couldn't see anything. Everything just went black. Any of you ever done that? You know, you get up off the floor or something real quick and everything disappears for a few seconds. I stood there and I could still hear, but I couldn't see nothing. About 30 seconds later, when my eyes come back open, I thought, Lord, I'm glad that didn't happen driving down the road at 60 miles an hour. So anyway, I said, Lord, I want that power, but I don't know what I got to do. So on the way home that day, the Lord spoke to me clear. I was on the way back to the house, and the Lord says, son, I told you I would never, you could not go above your master, Jesus. He said, now your master, Jesus, he did pray and fast for 40 days, but said he didn't work. He said, for the last 18 days, you have worked as hard as you did when you're eating. And he said, if I allow you to go 40 days like this, you will have done something more than your master, Jesus. I will not let you do this. So he said, today, your fast is over. I said, okay, Lord, okay.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, His Divine Power Gives Us Everything We Need, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.